I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at the checkout. A better web starts with your website.
We're sexy and we know it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Oh, my name's Marcus and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
Pete's here.
Yo.
The Fab Four in your ears, gents and ladies. Now then, David Moyes. Cheerio.
Yeah.
Cheerio. He's gone.
Thanks for doing it on Tuesday, guys.
Yeah. That is proper.
We really appreciate it.
It's like they
that.
Waited for us.
Yeah. Yes. We're thanking Jesus and also we're thanking, you know...
The Moyes
David Moyes for not being very good at managing football teams.
So...
You will not, seriously though, it sounds like a sort of almost facetious thing to say, but you will not believe the amount of news that's come out on a Monday evening. Just after we record. We come out the studio to like massive breaking news all across the...
People think, well, they haven't bothered with that one again.
The last one, most notably, was Brian Laudrup leaving Swansea. Remember?
Michael.
Michael Laudrup. We were talking about Brian's before the show.
We were.
Put me off.
Oh, didn't El Diego get sacked just after we left the studio?
I believe so,
that was
yeah.
annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. But not this time.
No.
We saw it coming and enjoyed a bank holiday and recorded on the Tuesday.
Which was a bonus, you know.
Yeah.
We were briefed like every other member of the press Monday night.
Through Twitter.
Whoa. Yeah, because it was about to be released. What? Has anybody told the Ramble lads?
Yeah. We can't move
Turns
forward.
Turns out everyone had. Yeah. Every major news network in the UK.
The question normally follows as anyone briefed the Ramble lads generally tends to be, who are the Ramble lads?
Are they not a bit old for the term lads now?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
No, never.
No.
Lad for life, me. Now, I suppose the only question we can ask this week is, who would you replace David Moyes with as manager of Manchester United from any arena? Not the footballing arena, any arena. Jim.
Well, I've enjoyed Moyes' reign a lot. I think we all have, if we're honest with ourselves and are just trying to not deflect later Twitter abuse. We've all really enjoyed this.
I like Moyes, and I think it's a shame.
Moyes.
I think it's a shame for him.
I've enjoyed watching United be a normal team and go through some struggle. And
I think you're entitled to that.
Yeah, and I'd like that to continue. And for that reason, I would like to see Clive Tildesley step out of the commentary booth and into the dugout, taking charge of his beloved Manchester United. he'd be Keegan-esque, wouldn't he? Because he'd be so emotional.
His team talks would definitely involve that night in Barcelona.
Absolutely, over and over again. He'd well up. And just cry at the end of it. Just sort of just roll around hugging the walls just because he's at his beloved Old Trafford. They'd never get anything done. It'd be amazing.
He's not that bad.
Wait, I think he'd be that bad if he was put in charge.
So would I.
I asked him once, because we met him, didn't we, that time, if he supports Man United. And he looked me in the eye and said, I used to. And it was such a practiced thing.
Yeah. You're not meant to
he's
tell
trying
people
trying
that.
To hold it in.
That's a man's career on the line now.
No, it is not.
Jim's career's fine. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
He puts it on the line every week.
I think fine is an exaggeration of my career.
Yeah. Okay, Tildo. I like Clive.
So he's kept you, Jim. You decided to keep it within the football arena.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same.
Okay.
I'm going to go Lee Sharp.
I'll
tell you why.
Yeah. Barbecues.
Back in the let me come on to that. You'll have your own answer in a minute.
You'd have to get a lot of bread rolls in.
Back in the day,
him and Giggs in charge.
Exactly. Yeah. Back in the day, Ferguson famously sat those two down and said, look, you've got to sort yourselves out.
Yeah,
Giggs
obviously
chose the right path. Yeah. Lee Sharp, you know, arguably didn't. Probably
Face
didn't.
Off. Definitely didn't.
Yeah. But revenge is a dish best served cold. And if Sharpie can somehow weave his way in there, head of Ferguson.
That would be great, wouldn't
and get
it?
Get the job. And we're talking, I'll tell you what we're talking. We're talking Elvis and Presley at the corner flag.
Yes.
That's what we're talking. Yes. We're talking fan club mixtape cassettes and barbecues.
That's a very nice reference
now
if you're a
getting
true.
The job on his own.
If you're a long listening Ramble fan.
Well, Lee Sharp. Long suffering.
Yeah, Lee Sharp will essentially go into the job interview. Just stay with me here. Lee Sharp's in a nice suit. He would wear a nice suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably a bit snug. We're on the Jamie Redknapp side.
I haven't seen him for a while, but I reckon he's still in shape.
Yeah, he probably is. He wasn't in shape when he was playing for Pompey for a bit.
No.
But hopefully he's sorted himself out. If you're listening, Lee, I hope you sort yourself out. He's in the interview with the Glazers, and he says to them, I will run a fan club. Okay, I know you've got millions and millions of fans all over the world. I will run a fan club involving barbecues on a, say, quarterly basis with a mixtape cassette of 90 songs. If that doesn't get him the job, then we're done here. Football's finished. Let's just forget it.
He'd be bringing the party back. He'd sign like Adriano.
Bringing the good times back.
Ronaldinho.
Adriano. Yeah. More on him later.
Yeah. As always.
Yeah. It's that time again.
But yeah, so my answer is Lee Sharp.
Yeah, good one. Hmm. Good one. And especially as Giggs is interim manager. But that's the beautiful thing is that Ferguson would want to interfere, wouldn't he? But like, sorry, Fergie.
No, yeah.
Sorry, mate.
You've had
your time.
Did I interrupt when it was your reign, Fergie? No, I think I went quite quietly, didn't I, when you sold me? Shoes on the other foot now, pal.
Stadium ban for Fergie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Barbecue ban.
None
of your red wine at my barbecue, thank you very much.
Or if Ferguson's at the game and Lee Sharp doesn't like it, he's just into the lounge afterwards. No, come on. No,
get out. Yeah.
Get out. You did this to me and I'm doing it to you.
You've got to choose the right path, Fergie.
It's for the best for the club.
Yeah.
Excellent. Peter.
I would probably go for... Well, basically, because this year, apart from some notable exceptions, maybe Wayne Rooney, player for player, you know, they just haven't reproduced any kind of form.
Yes.
Each individual. So I was thinking we need the best man manager 11 times. So 11 Harry Redknapps.
Yeah.
And they'd need a limousine for interviews.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they'd each have a window each.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it, really. Yeah. They'll just show them exactly how it's meant to be played.
And before you poo-poo this, there's another one of Pete's, in quotes, wacky ideas. I actually saw a programme on Channel 4 the other week where they cloned a dog. So it can be done.
Can be done.
Redknapp looks a bit like a dog.
Deputy dog.
So. Was it, what's the dog's name? Daisy?
That was Dolly the sheep, I think.
The dog, the count was named after the dog.
Oh, okay, right.
I forget the name of Redknapp's dog.
Oh, Redknapp's dog. Rosie, wasn't it?
Rosie. Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Apparently I woke up...
Was it Rosie they cloned?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Apparently I woke up 3 days ago to my girlfriend saying, I'm off to work now, Pete, bye. And I said, it's dog versus dog, and then went back to sleep. I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah, well,
it sounds like two dogs fighting.
Yeah. It's dog versus dog.
I think you meant a dog eat dog, mate.
I was just some dream dog fighting.
I'll be honest, Pete, it sounds like a coded threat, is what it sounds like.
So you want... 11 dogs and Harry Redknapp in charge?
No, 11 Harry Redknapp. Stay out of my dream and get into my car.
Yeah, okay. I would go for... everybody wants me to say it. It's got to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sven. And Craig Brown.
I know for a fact that some listeners on Twitter today told me that they were doing a sweepstake.
Right, now hang on.
You would mention Sven.
How long
can you tell me how many minutes that is, please?
That is around about 7. So seven minutes.
Well, the reason, actually, I didn't mention Sven. Michael Vaughan, ex-England cricket captain, he mentioned Sven, and someone tweeted me that.
Didn't go through your own mind anyway.
No, but I don't follow Vaughan, you see, to my detriment.
Gary Lineker piped
he's a
that
fine
as well.
Batsman. And I retweeted Vaughan saying, look, I'm not the only one. And then Lineker, as you said, said Sven will be sniffing
You're always
around.
Calling the tune, but you're the anchor calling the tune.
The puppet master. Controlling the former England captain.
Oh, come on. As we know, every now and then a stopped clock finds a nut or whatever it is. We can't put this down.
Every so often, the thing is, the world we live in,
yes.
There is absolutely no chance Sven-Göran Eriksson hasn't heard that news and thought to myself... I reckon it went for his mind. I'd love to that job. Because wasn't he lined up at one point?
In 2002 or whenever it was.
Well, him and Van Gaal were both sort of being mooted, weren't they, at the time? Yes, that's right. And didn't actually retire.
Yeah, I think he'd do a good job. But my serious answer would be Walter Smith and Archie Knox. Because they would do a better job than Moyes, firstly. That's not hard.
Isn't that the whole idea of replacing Moyes?
Yeah.
That is. No, but I'm saying
that's not the least to expect.
No, but it's not that ridiculous. They'd whip the whole place. They'd whip the whole place into shape. I mean, if you're not getting a performance out of those players, big Archie.
Yeah. Are you not picking Danny Welbeck today? No, he's talking shite again.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been talking shite again.
Yeah.
You know for a fact it's just going to be Ryan Giggs and Alex Ferguson doing a bit of a Bill Shankly and just turning up for training when he's not welcome.
Yeah. I'm not going to phone ahead.
Ryan Giggs will be the John Major to Alex Ferguson's Maggie Thatcher.
Ooh. Okay, yeah, that, yeah.
Maybe Giggs will start getting in. You know, Phil Neville's already there. Maybe Gary Neville will come in. David Beckham will come in. Just all of those those guys from that time. Obviously, apart from Robbie Savage. Yeah. Apart from him.
He can run the U team.
Yeah, well, into the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see all of them manage at once.
Mm. I think Luke's got the points. Lee Sharp.
Lee Sharp's got the points.
You've heard it here first.
And he will be getting points for United.
Lee Sharp needs the victories, doesn't he? Yeah.
You've heard it here first. Lee Sharp will be the next Most United manager.
Since I mentioned him just then, I'm actually now quite concerned that I haven't heard from him for a while. I genuinely hope he's
Does
okay.
he normally check in?
Yeah, he's not running.
I had a barbecue invite on Facebook for a while.
No, I haven't.
Why isn't he on Twitter? He's always quite forthright and quite opinionated.
Who knows?
Have you checked he isn't? Maybe he's just not very good at it.
Maybe he's stuck on Celebrity Love Island.
Maybe he doesn't know how to get his blue tick, so no one believes it's him.
I found a guy today who is called David Nugent, who likes football, but isn't David Nugent.
Shame. Wow.
And pretended it was him, and he was loving it. He was absolutely loving it.
He was loving it.
Weren't you trying to get him a blue tick?
Yeah, wasn't happening, though.
Damn Twitter and their rules. Moyes, he's gone out against his old club, 2-0, final nail in the coffin, goes to Everton. And when it became mathematically impossible for Manchester United to qualify for the Champions League, that's it.
Yeah.
See you later.
Off he goes, yeah.
Would you reckon? I think...
There's obviously a clause in his contract which meant if he didn't reach Champions League football, then he doesn't get
payoff
such a big
less.
Payoff. Yeah,
it's
been contract.
Reported as £5 million, isn't it? And people are going, oh, what a loser. He's only getting £5 million. That's what it's been reported as. Who knows?
Wow. That seems quite small for such a big club, though, isn't it? It seems quite small for...
I don't know, but the clause would be for basically abject failure by their standards, which has happened. Everything went wrong for him.
£5 million payout. No wonder he's not around to comment.
Yeah.
He's away. He's living on an island, which is now his island.
What are you going to do next, David? Whatever the fuck I want.
I've just been paid literally millions of pounds to not do the most stressful thing I've ever done. Yeah. Thank you. Fuck you also.
Where are you going to live? Liverpool. They love me there.
the whole thing went wrong for Moyes from the beginning, though. Even if you look back at the summer with the transfers, you just couldn't get anyone he wanted. The whole Ander Herrera fiasco. And just nothing worked out for him.
How much do you think it's a lot of it is to do with there being a general lack of leadership at like board level as well, though?
Well, they replaced the chief exec, didn't they?
Yeah.
They couldn't bring anyone in that they wanted. They kind of panicked bought with a couple of players. I mean, even like Mata, he was available, but did they really need him? Did they really need someone in that position?
It was very much like, oh, he's available. With
it's like an Ozil.
I think Mata's a huge, huge coup for the future, though.
I read, I heard on Five Live today a really interesting anecdote about something that sums up Moyes's, I suppose, if you like. And let's be fair, let's be real here. He was only there 10 months.
Yeah.
We don't know what would happen in the future. Mm. I said at the time when they hired him, presumably they've hired him not for the manager, just the manager he is, but the manager he could become over the years. Obviously, we live in a different era now to when Shankly went to Liverpool and when Ferguson went to United. But one of the things that stuck out was I heard that David Moyes' inability to almost grasp the size of the club that they're at was a few seasons ago. He took Everton to Australia in a pre-season, I suppose like bonding trip, and I think they played a few games, and he took them to Bondi Beach for a...
that would bond them.
For a bonding session.
Yeah.
And apparently it went really well, and so he thought, well, I'm going to do that with United as well.
Did he?
And he took United to Bondi Beach apparently last summer, and they got completely mobbed, and it was such a shambles that they had to leg it and hide on the roof of a bar.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
To wait for a bus to come and pick them up, because he just didn't grasp how famous they are.
That's the worst place for a ginger Scotsman, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
But you get the impression...
Like he planned it.
That's an excellent point, actually.
Throughout the club, that was the problem, though, wasn't it? When Everton lost... when Man United lost, in post-match interviews, he spoke as if he was still manager of Everton, like it was a setback rather than a disaster. And a club that size, every defeat is a disaster, and he just never seemed to be able to grasp that. He seemed too comfortable in defeat.
I think you're right. I think if you look at the parallels, different situations, of course, but similar size of clubs, you could argue, if you look at Brendan Rodgers, the way he's handled himself, he's not taken over from, you know, Shankly or Paisley or somebody like that. But the way he talks about the club, he gets that club.
Yeah.
And he really, really knows.
And it has to be a fit because, in fairness, it's not just, oh, this manager is good, this manager is bad.
Yeah.
There's various shades of grey in that. I mean, Brendan Rodgers was sacked from Reading. You know, so Brendan Rodgers has always had like a keen identity and an idea.
And he's never really won anything of
And he finished seventh last season. I think Man United were prepared for a wobble this season.
Yeah.
I think they were happy to accept that it was going to happen, but just not to this extent.
Well, they made the point that they budgeted for a season outside of Europe.
But I think it's just, you know...
Do you reckon that's actually true, though? Do you reckon that's just PR?
Maybe. Maybe that was just guff protect Moyes at the time. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. But obviously it's not been good enough in the long run. I think it's just the manner of it, isn't it? As soon as they've seemed to find a bit of form, they've just had another really insipid defeat. And, you know, the loss against Everton has been a perfect example of that, but we've seen that happen earlier in the season as well. And it's like they don't know... It's like they can't trust their own manager. And that's, I guess that's true of the supporters and the board.
Well, they had 12 games unbeaten. I think the root of the problem for me was that they had like a squad of players who kind of institutionalised this kind of culture of public defence and private kind of masochism. So the nail in the coffin was apparently, you know, after them getting beaten, you know, soundly by all these teams, he'd walk into the dressing room and instead of, you know, giving them the head, you know, the famous head right treatment, he'd just sort of say, well, I thought we played well. Which may or may not be true, but I think just these players just couldn't deal with having someone else at the helm. And I think the players have to be
certainly what he said
held 90% responsible.
It's clear they need a rock out there. Some of those players should hang their heads, for sure.
But at a club like Everton, that is what you need, because you don't want a team that are aspiring to sort of play above themselves. They don't need you to come in and go, that was unacceptable, you were shit. You need encouragement in that sense. You need to know that, okay, this didn't quite work out, but there's stuff to build on, you did well there. You can't do that at Man United. You absolutely cannot do that. There's no room for that sort of for kind of letting anyone off of any faults, because you have to adhere to the highest possible standards at what is arguably the biggest club on the planet. Clearly he just wasn't right for that.
You need to take a leaf out of Big Trev, the former Leatherhead manager's book.
Oh, yeah.
Walk into the dressing room. I think I've said this before.
You're sure. You're shit.
You're even shitter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that can work in the right circumstances, Mark.
Maybe he did that as he left. Maybe he just broke. Leatherhead, had a falling down moment.
Leatherhead may be one of those situations, but from what you've told me in the past, it didn't work there either, really.
Private League One.
No, exactly.
I didn't even make it to the first team. I only played a few for the reserves.
I was going to say to you that I think a lot of the players are performing well below their ability level and they should be ashamed of themselves. I wonder if there's a situation where the players just thought he's just so not competent enough at this level that they just completely switched off.
There's talk of a few players. Ferdinand, Van Persie.
Well, Evra said we're up for the Champions League games.
Yeah.
And you can see the difference in the performances.
But why as a professional are you not up for the Premier League?
Well, that is a bit strange, I have to say. And he did say, I admit it's unprofessional, which is the least I expect.
Because people have often talked, and Alex Ferguson talks about it in his autobiography before the most recent one, where he says, one of the biggest enemies of a successful team is almost like inertia after a victory. So when you win the title, it then becomes almost exponentially hard to win it again, because it might even be subconscious, but then you almost relax and you can't do anything about it. And you need to really combat that. And if you take the fact that United won the league last season, probably at the end of the cycle of that particular group of players, then they changed their manager. There's a lot of upheaval. It goes to show you that it can really go wrong in quite a dramatic way.
And not just the manager, the backroom staff. And as you said, Pete, they changed the CEO. There's a lot of change there that has maybe gone on, unnoticed.
I think I can get to the bottom of it, though.
Go on.
This is the first Premier League season Ryan Giggs has not scored a goal.
Right.
So he's thinking penalties, free kicks.
Bring myself on.
Get me on there. I need a goal. And he's undermined Moyes the entire season when he realised he wasn't starting to pick him.
That could be the reason.
If you look at kind of like how much this so-called war chest that's coming up in the summer, that they clearly don't trust Moyes to be able to isolate players, which to a certain extent for a club the size of Manchester United isn't really his job, arguably. But like 150 million doesn't seem like a lot of money. They need like everything
a whole new defence.
They need a whole new defence, a whole new spine, and you know, and it looks like a couple of players will be moved on up front as well. So it's just, you know, 120 million is what it's worth to get promoted from the Championship nowadays. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like with everything all tied together and all the new telly money and stuff, it's I think 150 million is Man City's wage bill pretty much.
If you think about potential successors, then Louis van Gaal will certainly give them a rock out of their arses.
Well, let's remember these are players that are playing below their level. If someone comes in and motivates properly, there'll be an instant.
Well, it's a perfect job now, isn't it?
I mean, they won the league the season before, bar a few players. There's definitely more in there from them.
Well, I know what you mean in one sense with 150 million, but you can't sign loads of players. It's not a good idea generally, and Spurs are the ultimate example.
The problem with that, though, Marcus, is they're going to lose Vidic this year. Ferdinand might well be off. Even, you know, his legs might decide that for him.
If they got four or five signings,
that's a lot, though. Someone
was saying that Moyes lost Rio Ferdinand, the heart and mind of Rio Ferdinand, if you like.
He's got mind.
When he eventually found it and then lost it again. And he said that he got Rio Ferdinand apparently to watch videos of Phil Jagielka. Because he was having a good season, let's have a stuff. And apparently Ferdinand was like, well, what's he ever fucking won?
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, he went after Baines in like this crazy pursuit of Baines and Fellaini as well. That really derogatory bid for the pair of them. Do you remember? It was something like, was it 28 million or 35 million or something like that for both of them?
I think it was 24 for both.
Which is crazy.
That's why he got such a bad reception when he went back there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he had this obsession with Everton almost that he couldn't get out of it. As we made a point very early into his reign that he'd forgotten that he was now driving a Porsche as opposed to a sort of more moderate hatchback, you might say, at Everton. And it just seems like he never got out of that mentality, especially with a very basic playing style that he had them using.
The worst part of that game against Everton at Goodison Park at the weekend was that, I mean, Everton are a good team. Of course, but they didn't even think he's been anywhere near their best to beat United. I mean,
they looked so comfortable the whole way through it.
God, but in wide areas. I couldn't believe it was
the
United team.
And what Pete was saying earlier is Moyes, you know, he came out and in the media, he was saying, well, you know, we had more possession, we had more this, that and the other. And actually, he didn't get that it was an awful result and an awful performance. But where would you fancy Moyes popping up next?
Newcastle?
Villa?
I'd take him for Newcastle.
Yeah, I bet you would, yeah.
Every day and twice on Sundays, as you might say, Luke.
Yeah. I think it would be a good fit from that medium-sized sort of Premier League club. Would be perfect for him.
Yeah. Giggs is the interim manager.
That's exciting, isn't it?
The BBC reporting today, there's no chance he'll be considered for the long-term job.
Well, it's not as exciting as it is from a neutral point of view. It is a nightmare for Giggs because obviously it must have been an ambition of his to take over at United one day if he wants to become a manager. But under the most pressure that the club has faced in the modern era, that's not ideal.
I think the pressure's
off. But at the same time,
he can't
lose.
Pressure's finished now, isn't it?
Well, is it though? Because it's a disaster. This is just you're going down with a ship. There's no pressure, but there's no glory in it.
These sort of seeds were sown last season when Alex Ferguson eventually chose David Moyes as his successor. The Glazers are at fault as well. They've never really had to spend any money. They've had to service debt every single year, so they've never been able to finance vast swathes of fringe players that would still cost a pretty penny. I think there's a lot of blame to be shared around, at the door of David Moyes.
Well, Ryan Giggs thing's interesting because the sort of conventional wisdom would be that he's too inexperienced to manage Man United. But if you think of the enemies and the things that make it tough for managers with no experience, it's like convincing the players, convincing the fans, all that. So he's got all that already, Giggs. Yeah. There's no way the players won't respect him. There's no way. Are you telling me when he comes out of a tunnel at Old Trafford, he's not going to get a massive reception? He's going to get the most amazing reception. I don't know whether, I mean, like I said, the BBC, who are much more informed than me, have reported that he's not being considered. But I don't know whether they're giving him a few games to get his feet under the table. Mm. And I think it's a chance that he won't be able to get the manager they want. The Klopp, for example, said no. Mm. Van Gaal, it might fall through. Van Gaal's a very testy character.
Yeah, but Klopp says no now. Who knows if they meet him and they talk to him? I mean,
Klopp can't say yes while he's still managing Dortmund.
Yeah. Van Gaal says he cries every day, so it could have just been during his crying bit.
There's some choice Van Gaal quotes. But it would
if
be
Van
nice.
Gaal gets it, strap yourselves in, it's going to be brilliant. I'm not saying it's necessarily going to be amazing, but it'll be such an entertainment.
Those testicles.
Van Gaal against Jose.
Oh, come on.
That's what I'm talking about.
Please.
That's what I'm talking about. Phil Neville staying on, by the way.
Yeah, I bet he's double agent. We know his game.
He used to be a double agent on the pitch as well. That was the trouble.
Have you seen Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy?
Neville
Junior. Is the older one? I can't remember. Phil Neville.
He's younger, isn't he? Yeah, Gary's older, hence he's retired. The most bizarre result of the Premier League season for me is Chelsea 1, Sunderland 2. I know Sunderland, I mean, they got a great point away to City. Nearly won the game, although you could say.
We should have won the game, really.
Well, they nearly lost it as well because Nasri had that chance at the end.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Sunderland, I mean, I just don't know what to bloody predict. We sit here and I was like, well, Sunderland are down and it's going to be them, and them. And then Sunderland get 4 points in two games, which you think they were never going to get.
Lucky to get one.
They've pulled it out. Conor Wickham's suddenly playing like a man possessed. Well, he's just playing, isn't he?
Yeah.
I suppose. Poirier's,
I've seen Wickham play occasionally.
He's always been a good player.
I've seen him look really bad, though.
Do you think he looks bigger? He used to be quite wiry, didn't he?
You've got to give him credit for the way he's taken his chances and the runs he's made. Because the goals he scored, he's made nice sort of textbook striker runs and nice finishes and stuff. Mm. Got himself in there. And you know, it's a great bit of management from Poirier, really.
Timely form.
Because they've had trouble with trying to keep Fletcher fit and stuff, haven't they? And Wickham's coming, and Altidore's not a goal scorer, so it's been difficult for them. But Wickham's coming. He's basically found someone to contribute really important goals at this stage of the season, which is a really good effort.
Well, maybe Poirier's just had him in the gym. Maybe that's why he's not been playing, just bulking him up.
Get that creatine powder down here.
I mean, Sunderland now, I think if they win their game in hand, they go safe. for the time being.
Not straight out of the relegation.
Out of the relegation. Yeah, sorry, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah,
but it's back in their own hands.
The safety zone, which is remarkable. I mean, everyone
thought how bad they'd been. That was a nailed-on 3 points for Chelsea for me.
Incredible.
Me.
Mourinho wasn't best pleased with the referees, despite saying he was happy with their performances.
He's found so many clever ways to get around fines.
I know.
What I liked about it is like it was such a colossal sulk from him. Mm. It continued until he ended up in another country. He's in Madrid now.
So yeah, that's like, right.
He sort of walked. He just stopped sulking. And he went, oh, I'm in Madrid now. I've got to sort the other game out now.
Yeah.
Oh, they all hate me here. God.
I love the story I shared on Twitter. I'm not sure if you guys saw it, but obviously Mourinho's going back to the Calderon tonight for the Atletico Madrid.
Oh, yeah.
And when he was manager of Real Madrid, he went to the Calderon to play Atletico Madrid not long after he poked Villanova in the eye. Oh, well, certainly, I don't know how long after it was, but it was after that, obviously.
I think that was in their version of the community.
Yeah, it might have been.
It was in his version of his eye.
Well, one of them, anyway.
Yeah, he poked Villanova in the eye.
You guys, we talked about Germán Burgos, the Simeone assistant, the guy, the big guy with the Google Glass.
Yeah.
Apparently, one of the first
things... He's a monster.
One of the first things he did when they all came out the tunnel is he went up to Mourinho, shook him by the hand, like whispered in his ear, I'm not Tito, do that to me and I'll knock your head off. And Mourinho didn't give a peep after that. I don't think Mourinho will give a peep tonight. Simeone's
maybe that's why he wore the Google Glass.
You wouldn't want to test Simeone.
He couldn't get at him.
Yeah.
He kept tapping the glass.
Yeah.
You ruined my Google Glass.
You know how much they are?
There'll be trouble.
I thought Jamie Redknapp covered himself in all kinds of glory. He's found his sense gland.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
He just went off on one for ages, going, you know, referees don't lose your titles. It's losing winnable matches.
You know, Mourinho would
score some goals. He did mention the foul on Larsson, the elbow on Larsson. Yeah, you know,
Ramirez should have been sent off.
Yeah, I mean, that was shocking.
Well, I would say Adam Johnson probably should have been sent off as well.
But Ramirez has turned into an awful hatchet man this season.
Oh, yeah.
He's done some terrible things. He used to be a really good box-to-box sort of hustle-bustle midfield player. Just like a hatchet man.
You mean Ramirez?
Who did I say?
Mourinho. I knew what you meant. Which
Ramirez
still sort of made sense sort of just true, after the game.
Ramirez is basically the Brazilian Lee Catamol now. I was going to say that...
Technical box, technical areas.
I was going to say that the thing with Mourinho is he'll always give... I suppose, to his mind, well-thought-out reasons to deflect blame away from his players and pipe up in the press and all this other stuff. And because traditionally we're used to him being successful, so therefore, by definition, because he wins loads more games than he loses, it doesn't happen as much. But now, because they're having a bit of a wobble and they're probably not going to win anything this season, they're certainly not going to win the league now, I wouldn't have thought. We're seeing it more and more because he's got more and more reason to complain. And so he's not careful, to quote the thick of it, he'll go from the man we love to hate to the man we just hate.
Yeah.
And then that'll be when his time is up at Chelsea, because it'll be really interesting to see how long Chelsea fans, who are obviously to a man pretty much in love with Mourinho because of what he's done, and that's fair enough, you know, he's a legend of their club, how long they are patient with him. Because if he doesn't win anything this season, and they don't start off the next season like a house on fire, because it's very tempting to think, oh, do you know what? Well, Chelsea are doing well this season. It's Mourinho's first season back in English football. They're going to be up there or thereabouts. They might even get to a Champions League final. They might even win the Champions League. But if they don't, it's then tempting to think, oh, well, I'll just get a really good striker in the summer and everything will be fine. It might not be. And it'll be really interesting to see if Mourinho just continues down this road of becoming like a parody of himself without actually having to win things, because he'll realise that as soon as you stop winning things, it's actually not going to last very long.
Well, he's gone a bit Holloway for me. like his last sort of outburst about what things he's scared of, a shark, his wife, you know, it's just a bit Holloway for me.
We've got her in the taxi.
there's beginning to be a few parallels from his time at Madrid.
But can I just say that we should talk about Sunderland, because they're brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
And they're really, really first of the ball. They play really well. They played as well as they played in the first half of the League Cup final when we saw them. They're really good.
That's we said that, didn't we? When people talk about, you know, every game's a cup final, I thought, well, Poirier should definitely get that mentality, because in the cup final, they've set up really, really well.
Against really big sides, you know, they've kind of reproduced a bit of form, you know, and it's kind of like, can we play every week, please?
I know. It's
you went with
odd.
The big sides.
If you went on home, if you went on the games left, I mean, Sunderland have got three out of their four are home.
They're at home to Cardiff.
Cardiff, West Brom, and Swansea.
I mean, if they win against
Cardiff. That's a 10-pointer for me.
Isn't it incredible? Bottom of the league side, they're the ones who end Mourinho's 77 Chelsea home match unbeaten record.
In the league,
And when Chelsea, if they win that game, have the league title in their hands. That, you know, that they're their own fate in their hands, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Which is just remarkable. I mean, when he lost his 151 home unbeaten record when he was at Real Madrid. But that was encompassing all the clubs that he's managed.
Yeah.
9 years he hadn't been beaten at home. It was against Sporting Gijon, who were not going for anything at the time.
Yeah.
So it is quite funny that sometimes when he does slip up against these smaller sides, it is quite spectacular.
And the penalty decision was a penalty. It's not as though he got the referee dropped an absolute rick, and that
And also, he was lucky not to have a man sent off. And as you said, you know, Johnson could and should have gone as well. But you know, they also got some luck through that. And you know, I think back to a little while ago when Mourinho was saying that it's impossible for Chelsea to win the league when it looked like they were going to. And now, from a position where they've basically shot themselves in the foot with a really silly result ahead of two very draining Champions League game encounters with Liverpool in between. Like, that just seems crazy now. If they don't win anything from these positions, then that statement just seems mad. I know it was supposed to deflect pressure at the time, but it just makes it look like he's losing the plot.
I don't see Chelsea beating Liverpool and Anfield either.
No, I don't.
I don't see that happening.
No.
And even if they do, Liverpool can afford that now.
Yeah.
I think they'll win their other games.
Do we see Sunderland staying up?
Well, it's so hard to say. I think it's going to be Fulham, because they've got Hull, Stoke and Palace, and those teams are all safe, really.
Stoke away,
yeah, but you know, they drew with Cardiff recently. They've got much less to play for than Fulham, and I think that might go into their favour.
I'm not sure. I think Cardiff away to Sunderland, that'll be a slugfest. Then they go to Newcastle, 3 points, lol.
No, lol.
And then they play Chelsea at home again. So,
we'll see, won't we? Next weekend's going to be a great weekend of football, because you've got Liverpool, Chelsea, Anfield.
Lots of great weekends.
Sunderland, Cardiff, yeah.
It's all brilliant from now on. Yeah. Every moment of every game is amazing from this point of view.
Unless you're a Newcastle fan.
Unless you're a Newcastle fan. It's probably quite boring.
Unless you're
and depressing.
Mourinho. I mean, no doubt he'll be really annoyed about, you know, the Atletico keeper will pull off some amazing saves.
Yeah.
He'll be really annoyed.
Yeah. He won't get any money for it.
He's my toy.
He's hurt us.
I want all my toys back.
He's hurt us today.
What about Swansea? They beat Newcastle 2-1. Well, they're on 36 points now, probably safe. Mm. Bonnie with a double. Papa Cisse suffered a broken kneecap.
Such a tough injury. That's awful injury.
Yeah. It's because they played him out wide and played a weird kind of three at the back.
Well, his kneecap didn't want to go.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not the reason. His knees are
I'll play up my kneecaps not having it.
What about Chris Foy? He was hit in the face with the ball and was eventually replaced.
Yeah, that's a nasty one.
Don't let you see that. No, man, advancing yards.
He carried on for longer.
I heard that Papi C says obviously going to be out for the rest of the season. I wouldn't be surprised he's out for the start next season with that injury.
I think
broken kneecap.
Well, it depends on how bad it is. I mean, it's, you know.
It's a broken kneecap.
You don't put any weight on a kneecap. I know someone without a kneecap.
Do you?
Yeah.
They can't bend their leg then?
Yeah, they can't. There's just no protection for the thing.
Right.
They've got all the tendons and all that crap.
It's not one of your friends who plays with the Ramble team.
I took it off him.
Did you win it in a bet?
Got a chisel.
Back home.
Having that. Yeah.
You've got an extra kneecap. I've
got loads of them around my neck.
Where'd you put it?
Right, sick.
You the Universal Soldier.
Do you use an eye patch?
I just think it's really sad with CSET. It's just another player that, you know, has pardued, and now, it's probably going to be his last kick, possibly ever, but certainly for Newcastle United.
Well, Swansea have had a tumultuous sort of mixed season, but I mean, Bonnie's had such a good year, isn't he?
Just as well they've had him.
They needed him really badly.
Shelby's been good as well.
When they returned that penalty, I was like, kind of want them to score that, to be honest.
You want really?
You should never want your own club to lose, Pete.
I know, well, you know. It's the season we've had, isn't it? Really?
It's not. It's higher than Pardew.
Pete, give us a Pardew out. Come on.
Pardew out.
Yeah. That was like a Wenger out. Arsenal fans who sort of want Wenger out, but at the same time really appreciate what he's done for them.
Yeah, but that's kind of the volume you get at the Emirates anyway, so it's hard to tell. Yeah.
It's a cold and it's a broken Pardew out, if you will. Yeah. Now then, Liverpool, they're going to win, aren't they? They're going to win the league.
They are. Even players that don't actually play for them, such as Fabio Barini, are just putting in a shift for them. It's
and
amazing.
That was Mourinho's master plan, ironically, to put little players out there to hurt other teams.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you've got Moses playing for Liverpool. He didn't expect Liverpool to be champions. That's obviously obvious. And then he's got, as you say, Barini bringing the lols.
Yeah. Sterling got a double, although his second one was heavily deflected.
Oh yeah, but come on,
it was given to
you. Got to take the shot on you.
Should he play central for club and country? Or maybe central for one or the other? Or maybe stick him out wide.
He's doing really well at Liverpool, clearly.
He's brilliant.
The England question is a difficult one to answer, though, because the natural thing would be like, OK, well, you play Sterling and you play Rooney right up front.
Yeah.
But then what are you going to do with Sturridge?
That's right.
So maybe you don't play Rooney, but then that seems crazy. So
front three of Rooney, Sturridge and Sterling.
Oh, front
three.
It'd
be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Rooney and Sturridge with Sterling just behind.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it'd work. But
I'd actually put Rooney
out. I'd love to see it.
I think...
Where's Carroll going to go?
To the pub.
I don't think the Hodge is going to pick Carroll.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
I think he should personally. I think he's had a good season, all things considered.
I don't
want to muddy these waters with Carroll.
I think
Carroll water.
Rooney out left, Sturridge up top.
Oh, let's not use our England chat now. We'll be fucked for the World Cup.
Yeah, that is a live show. I think of
content management, please, chat.
That is a bloody good point.
I think Liverpool have shown, as I've said before, many, many different types of ways of winning many, many different types of games, and they are coming into the form they need to come into, which we've seen teams do over and over again in the Premier League when they win the title at the right time. Chelsea are dropping points, City are dropping points, Liverpool clearly are not dropping points, and the hardest game they've got left is Palace away. I think they'll beat Chelsea at home. They're just too good at home. And they've ridden the storm on so many different occasions in this running. They've ridden the storm against West Ham. They rode the storm against Sunderland. They've now ridden a sort of mini storm against Norwich. By the way, who were completely... The coverage of Norwich against Liverpool by the commentator and the pundits was absolutely scandalous. They were talking about Norwich like some sort of like third round FA Cup like semi-pro side. Yeah. Not a side that spent like 50 million in the summer, who've got full of players. I'll tell you something, you think Man United players are underperforming, which they are. Norwich players? Norwich should be nowhere near where they are. And really, just because they had a good half an hour in the second half against Liverpool when the pressure was off and again they weren't expected to win because they've lowered their own standards to such an extent, they should play like that all the time.
I don't know about nowhere near where they are. I mean, they're not much better than someone like, you know, West Ham and...
Didn't they pay £10 million for Leroy Fer?
Did they?
And they paid £8-odd million for Van Wolfswick, who scored one goal on the first day of the season, and that's it. Come on. These players should be performing better.
Well, they should
Norwich
be,
should be doing better.
I'm not saying... I don't think Norwich are the 11th best team in England, for example. Well, or even 12, 13, I'd say...
For me, personally, from what I've seen of them, and I've seen flashes of them, for example, when they drew with Man City, and half hour against Liverpool, when they played okay, and they've had some good performances this season here and there, they should be a mid-table side. Simple as that. Right. And they've shot themselves in the foot, to steal the cliche that Jim used earlier, because they've got three really tough games, and they're probably going to get relegated now, because you can't see them getting anything out of them, can you?
No, absolutely not.
They just don't do... enough. I remember seeing them at the Emirates against Arsenal, and they actually looked decent for a bit, and then lost 4-0. It just happened really suddenly.
That's an awful habit to be in.
Absolutely, yeah.
Before we leave the Premier League, my favourite moment of the footballing weekend was the advertising boards getting blown onto the pitch at Hull.
Brucey loved it, didn't he?
Yeah,
he loved a bit of that. Aaron Ramsey was great for us.
Certainly was.
Good goal from Podolski as well.
Those advertising boards were fantastic. It's a real Easter treat, that.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those rarities. You think, that's
Easter
nice.
Treat. In your head, you're thinking, that's going to be on Question of Sport in a couple of years' time.
Oh, this is the modern version of Dog on the Pitch.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Dog versus Dog on the Pitch.
Yeah.
The advertisers are pitch invading, in a sense.
Maybe the pitch will just be one big advert in future.
Mm. We've seen some pitch invasions this weekend.
We have indeed.
We have. Yeah. Mm.
To the Championship, where Burnley beat Wigan 2-0.
Yeah.
Pitch invasion.
Did. Yes.
Damn right. The Clarets, they're back in the Premier League. Sean Dyche. What a magnificent job that man has done.
I'm really upset with him because when he got lofted onto the player's shoulders and everyone was celebrating.
Did he defecate?
No, he didn't defecate, Marcus. Don't be sure, but
that would be disappointing.
Yeah. Really?
And I'm disappointed in you, actually, for bringing that up.
Well, I never said he did it. I was just inquiring.
The sole of his right foot. A really untidy repair job on his heel of his shoe. And also two big globs of chewing gum. Now,
on his shoe.
That's not Premier League quality.
Not his fault. And it's good that he's getting his shoes repaired rather than just throwing them away.
Not good enough for an Out of the Realm.
No, it needs to be tidy.
A good re-signed job, Jimmy.
Not
an
Out of the Realm.
You should not be able to notice.
No, it's a different colour. The nails are all, you know, askew.
Look, well, take issue with his cobbler. Yeah. Not with him.
Yeah, but well, he's paid good money. He should demand a good job. Like,
change
he would
your
demand
cobbler.
A quality, you know, performance.
It's
his
not
players.
A Premier League cobbler. And if he needs shoes repaired next season, he has to go somewhere else. I agree with you, Pete.
He's been Premier League for a matter of seconds, and you're already coming.
It's tough at the top.
Well, mate, that's
tough
the pressure. The top, though, isn't it?
This is Shreve's.
Doesn't matter. That's what that is. Where did the chewing gum front come from then?
My chewing gum is probably the mouth of a fan.
Not having it.
I think Pete's done a very, very admirable job of preparing him for life at the top flight.
Exactly. Every minutia of his life is going to be studied.
What did head of Team Sky and head of the a great British cycling team, Dave Brailsford used to say, aggregated marginal gains. You do little marginal gains, yes, and added together, they improve you. Sole of your shoe is one of them.
He got Burnley promoted.
That is the foundation of which we all stand, the sole of our feet, yeah. Marcus.
Okay.
Symbolically
have
important.
A bit of respect. And I think a reporter was asking him a question about, you know, are you going to find it hard in the Premier League? And he did say, can you just let me enjoy today?
That's fair enough.
Yeah. Well, you're not, you know, Pete, are you?
Before you ask me about being written off, I'm not writing off his chances as a football manager. I'm writing off his chances as a human. Yeah. Right?
Right. Because that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah. I know it's not what you want to hear, Burnley fans. Yeah. Yeah. But this is the pressure you're
under. At the very least, Sean Dyche should have said, don't lift me up, chaps.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a bouncing heel.
My shoes are horrific.
Heel-related problem.
Yeah, but at the same time, you've got to give the fans what they want.
Today.
Yeah. Well, you've got to give the fans what they want.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I think they were ill-prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't expecting it. Well, he was expecting to be promoted. They were in poor position. Yeah. Not having it.
You never know against Wigan, do you?
I'm so looking forward to seeing Danny Ings and Sam Vokes in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I hope that Dyche, is brave enough to go with them. I imagine he will be. He seems a quite sort of attack-minded manager. And it's nice to see the strike partnership back. I hope we get more of it in the Premier League. I'd absolutely agree with that.
The worst thing they can do because it's very difficult for promoted teams to sign strikers, as we've talked about before. The worst thing they can do is sign some sort of unproven foreign national.
Some Carlos Kickerball.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Nigel Farage told me anyway. And I was actually going to do the joke on the show about David Moyes, Nigel Farage taking over at Man United because of Europe and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then, worryingly enough, Nigel Farage had a variation of the joke during the day.
Oh, no.
So I'm on the same wavelength as Nigel Farage. Or as he should be known as Nigel Farage.
Yes. Mm.
It's a bit French, isn't it, Farage?
Yeah.
He won't like that.
No. Married a German.
Can we never talk of Nigel Farage again on the show?
Nigel Farage.
Yeah.
Yeah, him as well. Yeah. Both of them.
Imagine if he was in that plane, what had the sign on it?
Oh, yeah.
Can we start talking about Steve Clarige instead?
If you'd like.
Clarige.
By all means. What, for the United job?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to talk about David Nugent.
Les différences.
My standout result on the Easter weekend for me was Leicester City 1, QPR 0. On Good Friday, the difference was the difference. I like that. Scoring against Redknapp's team, he isolated him, didn't he? Was it a Portsmouth Redknapp?
Yeah. Well, really undermined him.
He was signed for Portsmouth, but Redknapp, I don't think, wanted him and then treated him like absolute pony.
He wasn't new.
Grown up bully.
I saw a lot of that match, and it was like, it was two teams doing like 3-5-2, but neither of them. Sorry, QPR had no idea how to do it.
I've heard of this.
3-5-2. What does that mean, boss? Don't know.
Foreign muck. A bigger wage bill than Atletico Madrid
and Borussia Dortmund. Wow.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Playoffs will do, won't they? Playoffs will do.
Incredible, isn't it?
David Nugent apparently before the game. Apparently,
well, they've never had it so good.
Apparently, David Nugent before the game went up to Harry Redknapp and said, "Revenge is a dish best served cold, and I've decided that today your team will not be promoted. All the best."
The co-commentator, I'm not sure who it was, said, referring to Nugent's pace after he finished, "That's the difference, isn't it?" Yes, it is.
Yeah,
that is certainly the difference.
Yeah. Good.
I tried to have a bet with a couple of pals at work that Nugent will get 10 Premier League goals at least.
Oh, they're backing away from that.
Yeah, they didn't want it.
No, of course they didn't want it.
No, I think he will.
It's ridiculous.
Asu Okoto didn't really fancy it, did he?
Did he not? I didn't
no,
see the game,
he got then. Just got sent off.
Are you talking
really
about the season
boneheaded
in general?
Way. Yeah, the season in general, but particularly that game.
Okay, right.
It's like this. Well, if I get myself banned now, I'm pretty much done.
Go work on me DJing. Got a big season in Ibiza.
I'm doing an after show at the World Cup.
I'll see you on a beach.
Yeah.
We've still got a few games left.
I'll see you on the beach.
I'll come back.
We've got games left. What? Yeah, I'll see you on the beach.
Pasha with me, yeah.
Can we play the games on the beach? No, okay.
Should we just not play the games? I'll see you later. Who do you think you'll blame when they don't go up?
He won't discriminate.
Nugent. He'll blame the difference.
Yeah, he will.
He's hurt us today.
I never liked him.
At the end of the day, I signed him at Portsmouth and I knew he'd be a player. And if they'd let me sign him for QPR, we'd be in the Premier League. That's what he'll say.
Oh, dear, the last playoff spot.
Before we move on, since he took over at QPR in November 2012, brought in 22 players, including loans. 22.
Amazing. Wow. Mm. Yeah.
God, you go on there. If I think of any more, I'll drop them in later.
Please do.
Two teams.
It is two teams.
Two new teams.
Yeah. shoot from the hip more. That's what we want you. Brighton, Ipswich, Reading, Blackburn, Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, maybe even Watford are battling it out for the last available playoff spot. Wigan are more likely to, the most likely to get fifth spot as well. So a lot of teams still going for that. And down the bottom as well, Millwall have had a couple of good results of late. Middlesbrough away, 2-1. Well, maybe not drawing at home to Doncaster, but Middlesbrough away, beating them. So they're out the relegation zone. Yeovil all but down. And Barnsley looking like they'll be relegated to. Yeovil were always going to look down when their chairman was like, well, we're just happy to be here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Which I kind of admire in an odd way. Charlton had a great win at Sheffield Wednesday. Sordell with a first career hat-trick. What a time to get that. Marvellous stuff. And they go away to Blackpool on the last day. Blackpool are in the relegation zone. So Charlton, Doncaster, Millwall, Birmingham, Blackpool all fighting to finish above that 22nd place. The championship. Exciting once again.
It is very close. I mean, there's 3 points separating sort of six-ish teams for that sixth plus. But I think Wigan will probably come fifth because they've got a game in hand as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So it will be interesting to see what
would you fancy for the playoffs? I mean, obviously, we don't know who's going to finish sixth. But, I mean, Derby have been excellent since McLaren's taken over.
I think Wigan have shown themselves
to be good.
Wigan,
cup side, aren't they?
Yeah, Ross, I rate Rosler as well. And I thought Wigan played to a game plan against Arsenal at Wembley very, very well. It was hard to... I mean, really... I think Leicester have shown themselves to be different class. Burnley've got a great manager, Sean Dyche, and they score lots of goals. I think that Wigan and QPR, I don't mean this as a dig, but I think they are probably too good for the Premier League. Right. For the Championship.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but Wigan have got players who you think, like Jordi Gomez, for example, players.
Callum McManaman.
Exactly. Yeah, they've got a lot of good players.
Absolutely. I love as well the way their momentum has carried on from the FA Cup final last season. They've actually not dipped from then. Had another really good cup run.
Yeah. And beat City at the Etihad.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
But absolutely love to see them back.
We have seen teams in the past use their momentum to sort of almost bully their way into the playoffs late on and then actually get promoted. So you never know what could happen. But it'll be really interesting. I genuinely think those players at QPR will find it hard to lift themselves to the playoffs. I think it'll be between Derby and Wigan, in my view.
To League One. Brentford are up.
Well done to them.
Yeah, well
after,
done to
after
them.
The heartbreak of last season.
Yeah, yeah. And other playoff final losses.
Often
and whatnot,
spurs so. Those teams on, doesn't it? You see them have a heartbreaking playoff loss and then they just get their shit together straight away and just force their way up the next season.
Brentford lost their manager as well.
Indeed. But Warburton's come in and done a good job. I was talking to Billy the Bee. Brentford fans will probably know he is quite a well-known supporter. He's absolutely loving it. It says Warburton's a really good bloke as well. Yeah. And the whole team, the whole of the Brentford side, were in the pub with the fans till... Goodness knows what hour after. Yeah, he said like the fans were leaving and the team were like, where are you going?
Someone said to me at work about...
Buy me another drink.
Yeah.
Someone said to me at work a week or two ago when Leicester got promoted, he was going around saying, on the email saying, pile on Brighton to beat Leicester because I was in a nightclub last night at 1 a.m. and they're all still in there. And they got beat 4-1.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, not bothered.
Marvellous.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Marvellous.
It's a bit unprofessional because they're not champions. They weren't champions.
I'm saying marvellous. Yeah. It's not good. Yeah. Friend of the Ramble, Murray James, is Shrewsbury Town side. Look like they're going down to League Two.
Yeah. Oh,
shame.
Murray.
Shame.
Had a manager for years. What's his name? Graham Dingy. I forget his name now. Very nicely
Graham
dressed.
Dingy.
It looks like yeah. Graham Dingy. Part-time Coast Guard and foot manager. He said that Graham Turner? I might show myself up with terrible lower league knowledge here, but I think it might be Graham Turner. Anyway.
Hartlepool's Graham Turner.
Oh, is no. I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, the point is that he was manager for ages. He dresses like the manager of a working men's club.
Oh, yeah.
And club title, that sort of stuff. Yeah. And they didn't really replace him. And they've been in trouble ever since.
Ah,
but feel free to tweet me out if that's absolute bollocks.
Tweet him. Right then, let's go abroad. Let's go to La Liga. Atleti, they beat Elche 2-0. Miranda and Costa. Come on, boys. You're nearly there.
Come on.
They're doing it though,
aren't they?
They are.
You were talking to me about Miranda earlier, weren't you? Sonny?
All of Fernando Torres' ex-sides could win the leagues this season. Both of them, not all of them.
still all of them.
Yeah, Luke and I were saying beforehand that I was saying that Atletico Madrid will surely tire next season. But actually, there was chat, I think, on this very podcast that we thought Atletico Madrid would burn out before the end of the season.
Yeah, they play such an intensity.
But they could, I mean, Champions League and the Liga double.
Is there a worry, though, that those two Champions League games against Chelsea are going to be so draining that it might affect their league form? I really hope that
not
that
where Chelsea played.
Yeah.
But Atletico players are just terrified of not playing well.
Yeah, I think they can afford to lose a game with their last four matches.
Remember that they got Barca on the last day?
They do.
That's a nightmare. Yeah, however, you know.
It is, but it could be sewn up before then. I mean, they're away to Valencia, which is a very tricky one, in between Chelsea matches. And then they're away to Levante. And Levante are ninth as well. They're not having a bad season. Then they're at home to Malaga, and then Barcelona away on the last day of the season. You would imagine Real Madrid would win their games left. Although they go away to Celta Vigo. Is Luis Enrique in charge of Celta Vigo, former Barcelona player?
Couldn't tell you.
I think he might be.
He'd love
to disrupt that, wouldn't he?
He would. Mm. You were saying how you'd like to see Miranda go to the World Cup for Brazil.
I would, yeah. I think he's had an excellent season. Scored a lovely header as well.
He did.
He was capped fairly recently, but I don't think he's in the current squad.
Well, this is the thing about this Brazil side. But, we don't want to use up the World Cup chat, as you say. But they've got, I mean, if you look at like the likes of Fernandinho and Willian, who look great players. Willian as well.
Yeah.
They've hardly got any caps. They've got so many players, Brazil, which is why I think they're probably...
Are you trying to tell me that Brazil are quite a sort of strong, powerful football nation? I think this is a revelation.
They've taken a turn.
They've turned a screw. Miranda is quite old, though, isn't he? I mean, most of his caps came when he was playing in Brazil. Mm. I remember seeing him play a few years ago, four or five years ago.
You're thinking of Mirandina?
No. I'm not thinking of Miranda Hart, either.
Do you remember Mirandina, Pete?
Yeah. I do remember Mirandina, yeah.
Right.
No, it's kind of before my time, but I still
remember... Say you do, then!
I don't know why I'm getting so animated about it. Anyway, let's go Madrid. Come on. Go on, the boys. Wouldn't it be funny if David Villa switches from Barcelona and if they could win the league?
Absolutely amazing.
It would be beautiful.
Beautiful
is the word.
Great for Costa as well. Sorry to cut in there, mate. But, like, you know, he played second fiddle to Falcao before he left. And you would never know that, would you? He's just stepped up.
They have had some strikers, haven't
they? Yeah, but normally they've bought them in rather than kind of promoted from within and trusted them.
True, but you think to yourself, oh, if they lost Diego Costa, that'd be a shame. But they lost Forlan, Aguero, Falcao. You know, they've replaced.
The thing they've got going in their favour for this Champions League thing, and of course I might be making a fool of myself given it's about to kick off, is that their sort of pedigree recently in European competition is great. I mean, the Europa League pedigree is fantastic.
They know how to win in Europe.
Absolutely right. And I was going to say that, let's not forget that David Villa had a really horrific injury at Barcelona as well.
Yeah.
Severe leg break. And he's done well to come back at all, let alone be operating at such a high level. Of course, he's playing, in terms of goal scoring, he's playing second field to Costa. Yeah. He's still got about 14 or 15 this season. Yeah. So I'd love to see it, because I think Villa's a great player and it seems like a good guy.
Yeah, I really like David Villa.
Well, I think he's Spain's all-time top scorer, isn't he? He's a living legend. Yeah.
Barcelona managed to turn the screw as well. They beat Athletic Bilbao 2-1.
It's got to be a worry that Messi just keeps vomiting all the time. Like, yeah. I know Zidane did it quite notably, but it's just...
I think Zidane did that to eat his food, didn't he?
Like a fly.
Yeah.
Like, vomits on it, snaps on it.
Jeff Goldblum.
Eats food. Yeah. No, it's just like he vommed in the tunnel before the match now. It's like,
crazy, isn't it?
I've heard that he's trying to see a specialist to get it sorted out, apparently, yeah.
So why do I keep doing this sick?
But, we should say that, Pete, I know you're saying how worrying it is and stuff, is you're definitely not a doctor, though.
So. No, or a pro athlete.
I mean, you didn't even last a term at medical college, did you?
No.
You know those little hammers you hit people's knees with?
Yeah.
I did too much of that.
Swallowed one.
Yeah. Mainly concentrated.
Is this why
that?
You know so much about kneecaps?
I was about to say, this is why you have an extra kneecap. Yeah. This is why you took your mate's kneecap away. Yeah. But the moment in that game was when Ad Ruiz, the Athletic Bilbao forward, nearly scored a superb bicycle kick. The way he hung in the air, I've never seen anything like it. Check that out, listeners.
Fabregas got some treatment, didn't he, as well?
I mean, he was booed by the fans.
Yeah, by the Barcelona fans, we should say. Yeah.
Getting back at Arsenal, Jim.
Yeah, would love that.
You'd probably like that.
Yeah. I would enjoy that.
We're back with Flaminini.
Yeah. Well, so listen,
Flaminini.
Flaminini.
Flammer, flammer.
Yeah, you'll have Alex Song back next season, so.
Reported target for Man United a little while ago.
Joking about someone's serious misfortune. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Real Madrid, they beat Barcelona in the Copa del Rey final. Bale scored the winner, Luke Moore.
Can I just pipe up and say, yes, I did on the last show saying it. When's the last time he scored in the Clasico? But I was being facetious, to be fair.
Were you?
And I think I like to think that I'm sorry if you were offended by that. And I'd like to think that he heard the show and it spurred him on.
Yeah, you were being... facetious. He was doing. He was being facetious. Yeah. Facetious.
I just want to know. Have you learned your lesson?
There wasn't a lesson to learn.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there wasn't. Bale's a very, very.
To be fair to you, Luke, and you know I hate that.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't say how many Clásicos is he going to score in. I doubt there's going to be
very
any
very much
more.
Retrospective.
And should he be running in on the running track? Not the running track. Like the technical area. Should he be running on the grass that isn't the pitch?
No, he shouldn't. And then also
illegal.
Oh, we'd all love Pinto to give us a gimme every week, wouldn't we? Yeah, we all love him to let one in. You know, cheers, you're a nice one, Bale.
But then
I can run really fast and kick a ball past a shit keeper.
Yeah, but then he had, but
you
then
can't.
He had two,
no, I can't
he had,
actually, no.
He had two really bad touches, but because he's so fast, it didn't matter. He just went, whoa, shit.
Does that then make them good touches, Pete?
No, still bad.
When does a bad touch become an exploitation of your own pace? Think about it, yeah?
That's true.
That's deep, man. We're through the looking glass.
We don't have time to answer that this week.
We don't want to.
Or any week, for that matter.
Not interested, mate.
Well done, Real Madrid, Gareth Bale and Luke Moore. Let's go on to League...
I don't know how I've got out of that.
League... Monaco beat Nice 1-0. Berbatov scored a lovely goal. He didn't mean it, though. No. I'm so sorry to break this to you, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
He said that?
Well, actually, do you know what? On the way here...
I feel like you've just shot Santa Claus.
On the way here, after knifing Santa Claus...
I don't know what he was doing around this time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on his holidays.
That's probably Christmas summer, isn't it?
Mm.
That works.
Christmas summer.
Somewhere.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I said when I saw the Berbatov goal, he did a similar kind of, well, cross. Not that, you know, moments before that, minutes before that. Mm. And then when you see him do it, he clearly looks at the forward. And I thought, I don't think he meant that. And Luke went, yeah, apparently he admitted it. He said, didn't mean it. Because it looks like one of the most delightful goals
really
of all
does.
Time.
The most delightful Berbatov-y goals.
Yeah.
He stops and just goes, let's just stop.
Yeah.
Like the Matrix.
The thing is, though, for me, that's the beauty of it. And even if he didn't mean it, that stop was still something he did anyway.
Yeah.
Like that just sort of absolutely, like, you know, just really louche, just flamboyant laziness.
If he'd got away with it, he would have stopped for about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And gone, I've stopped the game. You play at my pace.
Just out of fact.
Which is one above Tortoise.
I was under the impression when I came to France that we'd be doing things very much my way.
And as you can see, we are.
We will kick off as soon as I finish this cigarette.
Yes, we will call the club Manacor, the man in question being me.
Me, yeah.
Do you think he'll, if Fulham go down, he'll team up with Magat in the Championship?
Imagine the phone call at the end of the season, Felix Magat to Berbatov. Hi, just leaving a voicemail. Hi, Dimmy. Yeah, just let you know, just to reiterate, the transfer to Monaco was very much a loan deal.
Yeah.
And we'll be expecting you back on the 14th of July.
Are you getting these messages?
Have you changed your number?
He's been ringing your agent as well.
Yeah.
I'm just getting nothing.
I went through to Yakubu the other day.
He just gets an email back, Finn.
That's it.
Berbatov returns his call. How am I going to get back to England? You're swimming across, pal.
Yeah.
I'm in the support boat right now. Yeah. With the goose fat.
Yeah. Turn up. There's no support boat.
Not needed.
Let's go to Malaysia. What's this? Former River Plate, Valencia, Zaragoza, Benfica, and Argentina midfielder Pablo Aymar.
I used to love Aymar. One of my favourites.
One of your favourites, and one of the listeners' favourites, no doubt.
Back in the day, I mean, we're talking about a top quality player here.
Oh, yeah.
50 odd Argentine caps, but back in the day, he used to look like a member of the Strokes.
He did, yeah.
And it was like, this guy's the coolest player.
And that was when Valencia were decent as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he Champions League final sort of stuff.
How old was he now?
How old is he now?
He's 34. I thought he'd be older than that.
No, he's 34.
And he's been injury prone for many a year now. But this is... he's had his contract ripped up by Malaysian side JDT. Johor Darul Takzim, JDT. And it's just
We know that.
Why is Aymar getting his contract? And you just think, How the mighty have fallen kind of thing, you know? No, I know he's had his injuries, but he signed a 2-year deal there, and the club president said he hadn't been value for money, and you just think, it's so horrible to hear that a Malaysian club owner is saying Pablo Aymar is not value for money.
No, it's like an old, like, great musical artist doing, like, a farewell tour in, like, a working men's clubs of Northern England or something.
Up yours, football.
You don't deserve Pablo Aymar. I used to have a Pablo on my Benfica shirt.
Did you?
Yeah. Nice. Still got it.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't get rid of it, would you?
No.
But JDT, that side, they also had Danny Guiser. Remember Spain international? Yeah. Yeah. European Championship winning Danny Guiser.
Yeah.
He was there for a bit.
Played in Turkey for a while, didn't he, as well?
He did. Guiza. Yeah, he's playing in Paraguay now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And former Lazio man Simeone Del Nero was there. And former Birmingham City, Villarreal, and Argentina international Luciano Figueroa was at this JDT, this Malaysian
side. Not all at the same time.
Around a similar time.
I love Malaysia. It's a lovely place.
I've not been, actually. Pablo Aimar scored a lovely goal in the 2005 Confederations Cup when they hammered Brazil. Do you remember that? Marcus, you might remember that.
I remember 4-1, I think. I remember them beating Brazil, but I don't remember the goal, sadly. But should we go to Brazil?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
There's your link.
Should we turn up?
I'll do it all for you.
Should we turn up in Brazil?
Adriano, the emperor, or the empora, as I've put here. the temporary emperor. He's had his contract with Atletico Paranaense terminated by mutual consent after 2 months.
Did anyone else here think it would last that long? 2 months is not bad going. I thought after about 6 weeks, I thought, actually, he's going to do this.
The football temp.
Yeah.
Not the emperor, the football temp. He missed 2 training sessions and was pictured in a nightclub around the same time. Not during the training sessions. Mm. A lot of clubs might be open at that time.
Well, we can't be too facetious about Adriano because obviously he's had his problems, hasn't he? And
it's, of course. And it's, but he doesn't have to say, like, after this happens, when he clearly still wants to continue playing. He said, I have offers from the MLS, Arab countries, Turkey, even Europe. I feel like a player again. Mm. Why let it go? I think,
play
then.
Yeah, yeah.
Player with an air?
Yeah. Player. Do you mean player as in football player or as in the popular rap artist Nelly?
Maybe those two things are just unrelated.
Yeah.
He's not actually considering those offers.
Elsewhere in Brazil, Nicolas Anelka. He will not be playing in Brazil, as previously reported. He'd all but signed for Atletico Mineiro, but he didn't turn up at the club.
It's really weird with Anelka. It's like he's gone back to his 17-year-old self. Mm. Well, he was a real petulant prick again.
He was apparently, I think he has been throughout at times.
Yeah, he's just hidden it very well.
Yeah, well, he was apparently in Kuwait for a religious trip, but failed to tell the club this in advance. And it was the third time Anelka and his agent had given excuses for not reporting to
the club. His agent's a bit of a wrong'un.
Isn't his agent his brother?
It certainly used to be, yeah.
What business does Anelka have in the Persian Gulf? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Well, he's a very serious Muslim, isn't he? So he's probably doing some sort of... it's a religious festival.
But
so.
Why Kuwait, though, in particular?
I'm not an expert in the region, Pete.
Get into it.
What do you think this is?
He'll have his reasons.
Because he's full of money. And now it's time for Petey's Game.
It is time for Petey's Game. Thank you very much for the fabulous Alex Norton for these particular clues. Bale Supermarket Sweep.
I forgot that was called Dale's Supermarket Sweep for a while. I thought it was just called Supermarket Sweep. Yeah.
You seen Dale Wilton's beard lately? Horrible.
No.
Isn't he really good mates with Graham Souness? Aren't they like a strange odd couple of friends? Apparently so.
Ah.
I found out the other day that the actor Billy Bob Thornton is the cousin of wrestler Terry Funk.
Wow. God.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Mm. Didn't see that coming.
I don't know who Terry Funk is.
I was born in Houston, Texas. Houston.
What year, Pete?
Not telling you.
That's not how this works.
I'm trying to help you out.
Well, you know that by now.
I'm not asking him just to tell me.
I won the Danish Superliga in 2006 and 2007.
Stop. Any Norwegian player.
I have done a 4-year part-time degree in business and economics.
Thanks.
Stop. Is this Stuart Holden?
No.
Is this a footballer, Pete?
Yes.
Have you finally just completely given up on trying with it?
Is it Terry Funk?
Why
are you laughing? You don't know who he is.
Most of my friends are funky.
My middle name is Paulson. His name is Robert Paulson. Fight Club. I am on the management committee of the Professional Footballers Association.
Ooh. The plot thickens.
Ooh. As a young man, I served a year of national service, as many
did. Stop! Is it Johanna Risa?
No.
Oh.
As if.
Risa!
He had to go back and do national service.
I'm not born in America, though.
You don't know that.
I do.
His parents might have been on holiday.
I'm currently captain of my national team.
Oh.
I'm 1.99 metres tall.
It's keeper, then, isn't it? It's a keeper.
Stop, is it Aspen Barton?
It's got to be a keeper, hasn't it?
I've been managed by Roy Hodgson in 2 different leagues.
Well, Danish league.
Stop. Kasper Schmeichel?
No.
Stop, is it... No.
No.
Is it Dr. No?
That sounded like an edit point, but it wasn't. Go on.
We're done.
What? No more clues.
Was enough of them.
No, there wasn't.
Look up how old he is. Look up his date of birth.
I'm Breda Hangerland.
No, Houston, Texas. Didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Parents were on holiday at South by Southwest.
He was born there, not conceived.
Let's make an economist, they said.
Yeah, they were there.
Still have been on holiday.
Yeah.
You wouldn't fly out if you were 9 months pregnant.
It didn't happen.
Don't worry about it, Marcus. Don't worry about it.
I'm angry. Give us some correspondence before I tear this place apart.
Oh, yeah, I've got a slight diversion before correspondence okay. from a friend of the Ramble and Ramble goalkeeper, James Pavier.
Big show.
He just texted me saying, "Not got any answers for the question of the week. Cheers." if everyone did that, I'd be inundated. And he said, also, just seen two direct messages from Pete on Twitter.
Yeah.
I never look at them, please. Can you apologise to him? And the answer is no, as I don't have a time machine.
Well, we shipped 3 goals that match, so you let yourself down, and you've let Perfidious Albion down as well.
Maybe you guys could just do this in your own time.
Yeah, probably will do, yeah. Might even cut out if you want.
When I say correspondence...
Yeah, it's sort of correspondence.
It is,
specifically
yeah.
for Ramble purposes.
Let's go through my emails. I got loads of them.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I have.
Question of the week.
What's that number where the emails are?
That is 4.
No. Unread messages, 3,985. So, if you're wondering why...
Well, they're all going to be about penis enlargement.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Can't get enough of them.
They're all about Pete's enlargement.
Yeah, needed. Question of the week. For the third time, Pete.
Peter, would you let him now?
Oh, I've done my part of the show. I want to ruin everyone else's. Pathetic. after we heard last week about Pele selling his hair to make diamonds, what's the most slash most... Sorry, let me have that again. What's the worst slash most bizarre thing you've done for money? Brian McNichol, straight in there. If this was genuinely the first answer, started a podcast, no money there. True, we know that.
Yeah.
Gary Rick says, my mate's mum gave me a tenner to roll in some stinging nettles when I was 15.
His mate's mum?
Yeah, and he was 15.
Good. I like that one a lot.
We'll read about her on the news at some point, I'm sure.
Very strange. Gareth Millwood on Twitter says, in 2006, I was asked to poison a lasagna at London's Marriott. I have no idea why, but I got £60.
What, he did it?
Poison?
Yeah. Poison it?
So that's talking about when Spurs got the shits.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Come on, Pete. Yeah, brush up.
Good.
Maybe made me lose my place. Oh, yeah. Would have been on Twitter says, as a thin kid, my auntie paid me for putting weight on. I'm now a fat adult.
So she's still paying.
Yeah, that's it.
He needs the money. He's come to rely on the income.
What a great auntie.
Joe Lynch says, I know a guy that ate goose poo for £15.
Really not very much.
I'd do that.
That's not surprising.
Ramble Live, June 7th.
Yeah. Sold out, sadly.
Yeah.
Is a guy who calls himself Madrid Days on Twitter. I shoved a jalapeno chili up my nose for 40 cents. It was not worth it.
No. 40 cents.
This is a good one. Edward O'Brien on Facebook says, I danced to an AKB48 song. It's J-pop. Pete Dancer will know it. With a bunch of Japanese businessmen for a special video to celebrate 40 years of Hitachi medical innovation.
Great.
It's on YouTube somewhere, but if you think I'm posting a link, you can go fuck yourselves.
Right, you don't realise how much spare time we have.
We'll find it.
I'm imagining the guy from Radiohead doing it, Ed O'Brien.
Yeah, it might be him. Could be him. Joe Yarnell on Facebook. I ate 20 chilies for £3. In the end, I probably ended up worst off. I had to buy 4 pints of milk and a lot of toilet roll the next day.
Oh, my God.
And I'll finish off on this note from John O'Call on the Facebook. I purposely conceded 67 goals to Police Machine.
Hey!
That's what we like. That's the sort of level we want.
Pete, what have you done for money?
Loads of stuff. I sold pork at Leicester City, didn't I?
Yeah,
worked in a betting shop for a while.
I did door-to-door sales of scissors.
Nice.
I've mentioned my bacon round.
Worked in a zoo.
Jim?
Your bacon round. I used to work in Index, which was like a knock-off Argos.
Oh, yeah.
I will repeat that. A knock-off Argos.
That can't be the worst thing that people have done for money. That's just a job that's sort of...
I did do that for money. That was bad.
Pete used to muck out animals' cages.
Didn't used to muck up... I used to eat the chicken that used to go to the monkeys, the howler monkeys.
Well, they had cooked chicken?
Yeah, they had cooked chicken.
And you ate it.
There was one monkey, a spider monkey, that came from a house in Leicestershire, because people used to keep monkeys inexplicably back in there, sailors and that, they'd bring them home. And they used to get, and this one monkey used to get fed, like, roast.
What, a full roast?
And that's the only thing it would eat. So they would make, you know, roast potatoes for it. Cause it was
the would it need that? Gravy? Tell me it would sit there, and it would just be disgusting
if everything until it ate something.
You'd be the first to say, if he got hungry, he'd eat what was put in front of him. He has to have a roast. What is this?
He was about 40.
I'm not being funny, but zoos were asked for money. For charities, a lot of them. I don't want to know that my charity money is going to an absolute diva primate who wants a full roast dinner.
Twycross Zoo. They had the PG Tips monkeys.
One, they should
have. To be fair, if it's,
chimps.
If it's PG Tips monkeys.
They're chimps. One, okay. One thing to finish on. You shouldn't be having a roast any other day in the Sunday anyway.
Yeah, weird.
What fresh madness is this?
What? So that's the weird thing. They're eating roasts every day, not having a monkey in the fucking house.
That is a fair point. Yeah. And I will concede that a pet monkey may need them to change their roast rotor.
Right, okay.
I understand that.
Have lamb one day, have chicken the next. Yeah. Right, okay, good.
Then the full hog roast, maybe.
What's next Sunday, Mum? Bushmeat.
That's it. That is it.
That is it.
I'm sadly putting a stop to this because I was enjoying it. If you want to get in touch, the Ramble address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, don't forget betfair.com/footballramble. I have recommended you to open an account there. You get a free match bet up to a decent amount of money. Mm. Put it on Nugent to score.
I know, he's done it again.
You would have made profit. Yes. Like, if you did it every single... I think he's got something like 20 goals this season. If you'd done it every week, you'd make a big profit.
He would have made a difference to your bank account.
Sign up.
Made the difference.
And even if you don't want to bet on Nugent to score, bet on whatever you want. That's just my recommendation.
Yeah. Mm. Pete?
This weekend's Rock and Roll Football Barclays Premier League commentary match will be the Battle of the Wests. West Brom versus West Ham.
Where is the true West?
Exactly.
Indeed.
Adam West.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Westlife.
Goodbye. Say goodbye, Pete.
Fred West.
Stay in school, you Doyles.
Westeros from Game of Thrones.
From Westeros to Nova Scotia. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
What? Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Keep this in.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at the checkout. A better web starts with your website.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.